Fear not this night, you will not go astray. Though the shadows will fall, still the stars find their way. Fear not this night, fear not this night. Though shadows fall, still the stars will find their way. Fear not this night, fear not this night. Though shadows fall, still the stars will find their way.
Hello, and welcome to Hosts of Ascalon, a Guild Wars 2 podcast where two enthusiastic fangirls go for a swim or drown in a sea of sorrows with one grumpy pants.
I like Isn't that addition. Good?
Yeah. Well, that was a group effort, I think.
It was indeed. Group effort. I am Hashtag, and I'm joined, as always, by Hunter and Alona. Hello.
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 Yes.
Sorry. Nothing.
Before we get started, a quick reminder that you can get in touch with us with news, questions, or comments by emailing us at hostsofascalon@gmail.com or on Twitter at hostsofascalon. We usually start things off with Chivos, where we discuss what we've been up to in Guild Wars 2. Alona, would you like to start us off?
Well, my plentiful notes here of like five words maximum for each bullet point. I did bounties for the POF specialization weapons twice. One time, Panther was going through and needed one for, I think it was for the Mesmer Axe. And so we went through and did that together and got that item. Because there's so many of the POF weapon specialization weapons that I don't have yet, the Ascended ones. And then after guild missions this past Sunday, he had asked for some help with another one. And I was laughing because Festy in chat is reminding me, because I could never remember the name of it. and it was something of, I can't remember the actual name, but I kept calling it Shalong McDong because I couldn't remember the name of the bounty. But we got that one too. So a bunch of everyone involved in missions, you know, we all just grouped together and descended on that guy.
What are you talking about?
It's a djinn in the Desolation. Oh yeah. The Elemental Swordmaster Azure, the Swinging Pendulum. And I made up my own name. So anyway, other than that, now that Belcher's Bluff is fixed, I went through and I think there were three of the NPCs I needed to complete still. I needed to do Adnal, which is the Norn. The Hylek one, of course, and I think the Azura, but I can't remember for sure. I think it was the Azura as well. So I got those ones all done, and now I just need to do the remainder, and Hunter, those are all just playing it with other people, right? Like other races?
Other players on different races. I feel like this is the equivalent of someone 2 years from now talking about how they finished up the chair collection.
Yeah. I would be very proud of those people if that happens.
Belcher's Bluff is hard.
It is hard, actually.
No, it's not.
It's hard.
It's hard.
Especially Adnal. He's frustrating as all get out. I have moved Alona, my main character, from Mirage back to base Mesmer because of the recent Mesmer update that happened. I still really like Mirage, don't get me wrong, but I was missing using the weapons, the focus and scepter. And I was really missing those. So I went back and I just went back to base Mesmer. It's a different build than I had previously, but a variant. It's close, but different. And I'm super enjoying it with the changes that have come through.
You're the only person that uses focus.
Okay. I'm okay with that. I like it. And I'm working on finishing the carapace and by extension, the luminous armor sets. I we were all on, what day was that? Was that, it was on the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, it must have been, because I was on and I haven't been on very much.
Yeah. So we were going through to see what sort of achievements we could work towards to get some additional points. And I'm pretty darn close on a lot of the Carapace / Luminous stuff, but I needed the leggings and I think some of the headpieces. So I've been doing a lot of silver waste for me, a lot of silver waste. And Hunter gave me the tip of using in Corteria squads, looking for group Reba, R-I-B-A, looking for, I didn't know about them, surprisingly or unsurprisingly, I don't know. But
it's a bit of a facepalm, to be honest.
I had never heard of them. So anyway, it's been very helpful. So I've been looking for those when I've had a chunk of time to play. And if there's not a lot of other people on that I want to play with or can play with, like as in there's no one on. And there was the one of the days, it was the jumping daily jumping puzzle was the one just as you enter Frostgorge. And I loaded in to having a portal right underneath my feet. So it was extremely handy. It was so good. It was good enough that I made mention of it in what I did in game. I was very happy. But and instead of saying just, you know, your stock, thank you, or even tipping, which I did do as well, but I said, by Ogden's hammer, what service? Because it was just so handy. I didn't even have to move.
And it's almost like there's mesmers who port you up jumping puzzles every single day.
Yes, but not right at the waypoint. Like right.
Oftentimes.
You don't even, like it happened to me tonight. I literally waypointed in and there is a portal right there. Push feet. F, boom, done.
I can probably name half a dozen places where you can just.
Well, this is the first time it's
happened before.
I've only had it happen the once, and I was ecstatic. I loved it. As I mentioned earlier, we did missions. So the previous Sunday and last Sunday, and you know, just that was fun. We did stuff. It was good. Good missions. And I started the new achievement collection that is extremely time gated, but I'm okay with that. With how, for some reason, this time gating doesn't irritate me. I don't know about you guys, but we can talk about that later on, I guess.
Sure.
Sure. And that's all I did, Hunter. It's up to you now.
Mm-hmm. So I only spent enough time in World versus World this week to get the past couple weeks to get the wood chest done. Feels a little wrong just doing the bare minimum, but gotta get that extra pip for next week, right? And I threw some shortbow exotics in the Mystic Forge, and I got the Lover out of it. So I made the Dreamer, but I haven't decided on whether to keep or sell it. It's still sitting in my inventory. I think I'm going to keep it because, like, part of me wants to make every single legendary, and I have the money to do that. But
I remember when it must have been last week's Guild Missions, then the previous one, where you had mentioned that you had got that. And Festy asked, like, why would you make that, Hunter? And I was like, he can like pretty things, Festy. You can.
Yeah. It's a very obnoxious shortbow.
That's fantastic. The fact that you have it, Hunter, is just
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
So I also did a couple rounds of T4 fractals. I unlocked the golden fractal shortbow skin, which is pretty rare. Well, like it's difficult to get those skins unless you want to like spend money on golden fractal relics, which I don't. Hmm. Anyway, we did the T4 Twilight Oasis as well for the achievement and mastery point, which I had thought I had already done, but apparently not. And we only did it because Triven Jebbers hadn't done it before.
Okay.
And I, before we did T4s, I had just been saying that, you know, that I didn't think Crystal Oasis was, or Twilight Oasis was in the rotation for Fractal Dailies, because I hadn't seen it in Fractal Daily. But yes, we just did it, and whoops, got the achievement.
Yay!
Winner, winner.
Yeah, of course. I was talking to Spirit, and apparently, according to her, it only appears once in the rotation of 14 fractal dailies.
Oof.
whereas fractal like volcanic appears 7 times or something.
Ugh.
Out of 2 weeks of daily.
That's crazy.
They need to reset that, I think.
That doesn't seem overly balanced.
Mm. So I spent a bunch of time gathering wood after being somewhat depleted by the gifts for the dreamer.
That you're totally keeping?
Yes, maybe.
Now, is it worth it right now to gather versus buy, considering the gathering buffs that were, you know, a couple weekends ago? The supply has got to be pretty high.
Actually, I would say that, like, that glut had a very temporary effect on the economy as far as wood goes. I mean, still a little bit down, but, like, overall, it's not that big of a difference from before the weekend.
Okay.
What else? I'm nearly done the exotic hunter collection. As my buyers came in for the various things I need, I just need Raza's Nightmare. I've got a buy order in from that. I'm like 6th or 8th down in the list. So hopefully that'll come in pretty soon. And then I'll have my karmic converter.
Huzzah! I actually put buy orders in for all the ogre weapons to try finish that collection. They haven't filled yet.
No, I did all those a while back when they first came out, basically, and along with the Dredge skin collection, even though they don't, even though the Dredge doesn't have a collection tied to it, which is like a kind of like
a shame, actually.
Yeah, a shame. Yeah,
an oversight.
How much are the ogre weapons right now on average?
Not very expensive, are they?
No, they're over a gold up to. The cheaper ones you can get between, I think it's like 50 silver and almost 2 gold. Depending on which stat set it is.
Right.
Yeah. I thought I'd do this and see how far I get. And if I'm not getting far enough, I'm just going to cancel and just straight up buy.
And the Dredge ones are like 2 gold a piece or something like that.
Which is weird because there's no achievement for those ones.
They're more expensive to make.
Well, are they good-looking skins?
Some of the Dredge ones
are great. Like the Hunter's favorite weapon, the Focus, is so good.
Yeah, it's a canary in a cage.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I can't really think of any other ones that are really good, but I think there's some very plain okay ones, but aside from that, I don't think there's many really good ones in the Dredge collection.
Anyway, notable, anyway.
Yeah. And finally, I did some of that crate treasure chest stuff yesterday. I guess we'll get to that later in the news section.
Mm-hmm.
And that's everything I did this week. Hashtag.
So I finished a bunch of achievements these past couple weeks. First,
on a mission.
I am. I finished Shell Slayer. I finished the 5,000 version of that. And I took out a bunch of pesky ambient crabs in Metrica Province. It felt bad, you know?
Like in that you felt bad for the crabs?
They weren't doing anything, and they didn't even have a chance. I mean, it wasn't a fair fight. It wasn't like I aggravate them and then they start attacking me and then I win. No, it's literally like boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead. Boom, you're dead. So, you know,
you see, oddly, those ones don't bother me, but like the kicking chickens does.
Yeah, those poor bits of code.
Ugh. Anyway, it was really good to do it in Metrica Province because they respawn very quickly, and I think I only had about 100 left, and I did it, I don't know, in a couple minutes, maybe 20 minutes. All done. So good to have that done. I finished the Fragmented Anomaly achievement. I had one left that I needed to do, and I just kept missing reset and doing it with a group. But I happened to be on Right at Reset a couple nights ago, and I ran with the Louis Vuitton group.
Fancy.
Right? Right? And they do the anomaly every night.
So they do it for the coin, for the mystic coin. And that was fantastic. I've never done the anomaly where it doesn't move. It was literally like,
what?
You hop on it. I've
never done that either.
Everybody just pew, pew, pews, and it's done. Yeah, there was no running.
Yeah. And there's like an achievement for getting it done that fast too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
let me get this straight, though. Crabs, you're upset about killing, but some poor creature that just is trying to run away and cower, you're okay killing it every night.
He's taller than me. There's something
cowers, like... cowers in fear and runs away if it can. And you're okay with that one.
All right. You know what it is, actually? Because when you're, when you're fighting the anomaly, there's so many effects. You can't even really see him cowering. So,
oh, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. That's my...
Because of all the people attacking him, you can't see him cowering.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That's my excuse. All right. I finally finished Chairs of the World. It did not take me 2 years, Hunter. So, yeah, there's that. It was
to manufactured victory.
It was actually a lot easier than I expected. I don't know what I expected, but I think I thought some of the
literally sitting in chairs is easier than
expected. I mean, I thought it would be more. I thought it would be more arduous. Like I thought some of the chairs would maybe be in dungeons or fractals or something like that. You know, not as easy to get to.
Not as, very cushiony.
Oh my gosh.
maybe they're wobbly, they're a little uneven.
Yeah.
Or a hammock.
Yes.
You gotta get into a hammock.
It would fall out.
That'd be awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Hammocks of the world.
And then my big win for the week was I completed the Ascended Armor collection. Sweet, sweet 75 AP. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if I've finished that.
Yes, you have. It is insane that you get 75 AP for this. All you have to do is unlock every Ascended Armor skin.
Well, we were also talking about with the AP stuff, how the disparity between some things that take tons and tons of effort and like 3 AP. And then there's other things which are super simple. Like, here's 180 AP. Note, I don't think there's ever anything that gives you 180 AP. Don't write us.
Yeah. So as a result of this, I got my 17.5K chest. Woohoo. And I ousted Boots in our guild lineup.
So, did you though? Or because I remember you saying, oh, he logged in and not screwed up me being on the front page.
I'm still like 30 ahead.
If someone can log in and displace you from the front page of the achievement,
I have a little bit of buffer now because I've stayed ahead of Frick, and then I passed someone else, and then I passed Boots. So now on the first page, I'm not at the bottom of the first page. I'm one up from the bottom. So, a little bit of
the amount of effort that you're putting into this.
Well, last show, right? Didn't I say that I'd finally made it to the top of or to the bottom of the first page? And then
because we had a guild exit
later, I logged in and I was back on the second page. So, what's up with that?
You made it to the top of the bottom of the front page. Wow.
We were talking about this earlier this week, and I've gone from.
Kids, if you want to succeed, set your goals real low. Now,
I also would like to point out we're still on hashtags first bullet point.
I went from 9,000 to 17,000 on this goal of AP. So before I started this goal, I didn't really go for AP because I didn't think it was possible to get anywhere with it. I felt so far behind. So I think actually having a little mini goal of always trying to pass the person who's right ahead of you just kind of gives you a little something to work towards.
That's
so
fair.
Yeah.
So onto your second bullet?
Yeah, my second point. I've been staking out High Judge Kalul in Vabi for the Court is Adjourned achievement. I have not been lucky enough to catch him yet, despite doing the full event chain. It's at the Necropolis, and it's basically after the caskets arrive and the judges are making decisions about whether or not the corpses are going to be awakened. So you go through that whole, there's an event there where you're helping them judge. And then after that,
I've never done
this. What? What? And then after that, each of the high priests,
I talked about this,
or high judges appear in succession in different areas around the necropolis. And it's a group event. You can't do it alone. You have to take them down. It's not easy.
I have done. You're right, Hunter. I've done these.
Yeah.
You've told me about it and I've done them.
So they're supposed to appear like every 10, after you do the initial event, every 10 to 20 minutes, one of the judges is supposed to appear until you've gone through all three and then the whole thing resets. I just can't manage to get Kalul. Like, I've gotten the other two several times. I wait for Kalul in the right place and nothing. So either I'm just missing it or whatever, but also, I'll get there to wait for him and nobody else will be there. So even if he popped up, I don't know.
That kind of leads me to believe that perhaps people were waiting for him to pop
before you
got, and before that,
like,
you got there.
There was no one. Like when I did those chains, there was maybe like two or three other people working with me on the other ones. And then, yeah, people just kind of dispersed.
Well, if you call it out in map chat, people will show up. Because when I was doing Kalul, I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and like the event does not even pop. Like the event does not come up in your UI unless you are on top of the spawn location.
I do wonder though, as we leave that zone, if they're going to rework any of those events to be, you know, soloable
or nearly soloable.
That would be kind of nice.
Well, I was talking to Spirit the other day.
Looking at you, Dogs of War. Sorry.
She was saying how so much of future content is probably going to be going to require like mounts or gliding. So she thought that maybe HOT should be made free to play for players, added into the base game so people could get gliding at least. And I forget where I was going with this, but I was going to tie it into the conversation. And now I'm lost.
Bobby being downgraded.
Soloable.
Well, HOT would have more players in it if it was eventually made free-to-play. And maybe, you know, years down the line, maybe Path of Fire will be made free-to-play. You never know.
I don't think it would necessarily mean more people would be in there. Really? Why would you think that? Because at that point,
free to play players in
free, yeah.
Well, no, it's not free. That so much. It's just that there's so much, for lack of a better word, land to cover now.
Yeah,
to just invariably, people are just spread out.
That is true. I mean, if your player base doesn't continue to grow along with the growth of maps, you're going to be fractured a little bit.
Yeah.
And finally, my last bullet point, I have made a habit this week of finishing my dailies at the last possible moment.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So last night, I logged in at 7:53 p.m. and I quickly finished the Gatherer and Jumping Puzzle dailies. And after that, all that was left was the Mystic Forge daily. I had 3 minutes left on the clock.
This is what caused you the most panic. I love that this caused you the most panic.
And then I panicked because I got to the Mistlock Sanctuary thinking, okay, I'm going to do my Mystic Forge thingy. And then I get up there. It's 7:57. I open my bag and I have nothing. Nothing that can be forged. So Alona, you tell me, oh, go buy some greens or whatever. And I like panic because...
I don't have time to buy anything.
Where do I buy greens? Something like the trading post that takes forever to load it up and search for the right thing. And oh no, I don't want to pay
you
20 silver. How do I pay five?
What are you talking about?
I was in the Mistlock Sanctuary.
Oh my gosh.
And I was not in the Royal Terrace. Get it right.
I'm going to be in an early grave just listening to you two talk about playing Guild Wars 2.
So anyway, you know, it's like now 7:58, and then I remembered, oh, why don't I just go buy some salvage kits and I'll make a Mystic salvage kit, which is what I did. But then I ended up going to three different merchants before I found the merchants who were selling salvage kits. So my heart was racing. I run up to the Mystic.
Couldn't you have just grabbed four of like some sort of gem
out
of your... material storage and like,
yes,
but call it a day.
I didn't want to do that and then have it like, you know, not be something that works in the, I don't know. I just, I had 1 minute. I couldn't think, but I got it done. 7:59, got my 2 gold, got my 10 AP. That was my week. I pretty much have done that almost every night. So
but going back to High Judge, oh my Kuro gosh, for a quick second. What? I'm just saying, like, if you had called it out in map chat and said, hey, there's an achievement tied to this guy and it's here in this location, giving them directions to get there, you would probably would have gotten
I actually
help.
Did call out the events and the other high priests as they high judges as they popped and only got about 2 people. But to be fair, I think Serpent's Ire was going on during that as well. Yeah. So
that's it for you.
That's it for me.
Well, every other week we post a poll on Twitter for what we call Votes of Ascalon. This week we asked, an underwater skill balance update means an underwater expansion is confirmed, right? Right. So what features in an underwater expansion would you most look forward to? With 90 votes, the number one is 46% seahorse / shark mounts.
Which, by the way, I mean, we discussed
yes,
this.
We did.
Seahorses move 1.5
oh my gosh, not this again. Not this.
And that is like a weird... Like,
but okay,
yeah, you can't get on a seahorse mount. It's going to move 1.5 meters per hour.
You know what I can't
up,
do in real life?
Up, doesn't it
shoot magic out of my hands?
Doesn't the speed also scale up if you scale the size up?
Also, it's a magic seahorse. They're magic lands. It's a
#. You should be on my side. Shark mounts was your idea.
No, it was, but it wasn't what I voted for.
Well, I don't think it's binary. You could have both made available.
And I believe my exact wording was not shark mounts, but shark mount.
That's true. it was like a place that you visit or something. Next up at 21% was submarine player housing, which, you know, when I was putting this in the show notes, like, I don't even remember reading this.
I voted for that.
Did you?
I did. Awesome. Because I suggested shark mount, but then when I read submarine player housing, I was like, you know what? I am 100% on board with
that would
player housing
cool,
of any sort.
Actually.
So, yeah.
And then at 17%, our cat version or underwater catfish, as opposed to on top of water catfish. And 16, aquatic tengu, because...
I mean, if you're going to have a playable race, it's got to be tengu.
So who did you guys
underwater or not?
So we know what # voted for. What did you vote for, Hunter?
Did you forget?
I will check.
Did you forget? Did you vote? Check.
Yes, I voted. Just let me.
I think I voted for seahorse / shark mounts, but possibly aquatic. Actually, I 100% do not remember what I voted for, and I am too spammerific on Twitter to go back and figure it out.
Seahorse shark mounts.
Mm. I wonder if that's what I did. And so, yeah, that was a fun poll. With I think 90 votes is respectable. Nice turnout.
Siege turtles would be cool. I wish I'd thought of that before I put the poll up.
Yes, siege turtles would be great. We did have a few comments to the poll. Gord the Norn. On Twitter, obviously, at Gord the Norn said, shame on you for fanning the flames of this false hope. I think they're just catching up on the backlog. By the way, I voted for a shark mount, of course. And then at Flipside 3, I second Largos play. Oh, so someone had said you forgot Largo, at Kate L2355 said you forgot Largos as a playable race. And Flipside said, I second Largos playable race, but we'll probably get a gem store skin instead. Wonder what a mutant Largos plus char would look like. Do you want to list your reply, Hunter?
No.
No. Hunter.
I don't know why you put that.
Well, because I thought his next reply was good, but it made more sense. So anyway, fine. I won't continue. At Arceus8 said, the Tengu should be higher, always. Stuff the ballot boxes. I don't know. Almost 50% is pretty high. So there's that. at Vajou said, okay, help me say this.
Penguin goo
confirmed.
Because it's a play on Tengu.
I knew that. Penguin I just wasn't goo. Sure how to read it, how to pronounce it. At Zero Katsuni, Quaggan themed home instance for the new underwater town. Yes, I would like that. Actually, here's the other at R Hall 1705 said, definitely underwater mounts. Aquatic siege turtle, please. So we got a couple people that want siege turtles. Mm. And at Alexis Apocalypse, nothing. In the entire history of gaming, underwater anything has always sucked. And I guarantee you that it will be no different here. And I saw that and I was like, I have no idea how to respond to this because it's just so unnecessarily negative for a fun poll. and then hashtag replied with just an animated GIF of a close-up of a nonplussed looking Rachel Dratch.
That's a Debbie Downer.
And I was like, yes, that is the perfect GIF, because that was exactly what I was thinking when I was looking at it. So in many ways, this is my favorite comment because it entertained me the most that we all had basically the same reaction to it. So thank you. Ooh, giant Luxon snails for underwater housing. I do like that idea. Flip side.
And now it's time for Post of Ascalon, where we discuss the latest news in Guild Wars 2. First up is Making a Splash, changes to underwater combat and rewards. Today's update, well, yesterday's update, but this is their blog post. Today's update brings changes to the Deadeye Elite specialization and general balance tweaks, but in this blog post, we'll dive into a soggy subject, which is kind of annoyed by the puns, like... Dara has really infected Guild Wars 2, I feel, with her...
Inspired. Guild Wars 2.
We dive into a soggy subject, underwater combat. We know this isn't floating...
I'm actually kind of happy we gave this to you now.
We know this isn't floating at the top of everyone's request list, but we've seen it come up for air multiple times over the years. We've now made a significant number of balance and functionality changes to how you fight beneath the waves. And hashtag has something to say about this, apparently.
Yes. This is your hashtag predicts, which I haven't had one in a number of months. So hold on to your hats. I think that all of this is leading up to, dun, 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 an underwater raid.
Well, you're completely wrong.
I don't. Okay. I also disagree, but why do you disagree, Hunter?
Because the serious raiders would hate anything underwater, and the amount of tweaking and balancing for underwater stuff.
Yeah, but
would be difficult for the raid designers, and the players wouldn't have it.
Well, but here's the thing. Like, raiding is all about challenge. What's the one form of combat that has not really been conquered? Underwater
chair
combat.
Sitting.
So chair sitting. Underwater chair sitting.
I had a kind of a Twitter back and forth yesterday with Boots, because he pointed out that Necro underwater is it Necro underwater specifically? That is just like basically ungodly. And I might be getting this wrong. But I was saying, well, so that the balance still needs a lot of work. And I said, for PvE, is balance really that important? And for raids, it would be. Like, if you had one, it would be like, no, if it's an underwater raid, we're only allowing Necros in, if they're the only ones that do.
Yeah. So moving on. another pun, plumbing the depths. We approached this by reviewing the original design for underwater combat, where fighting was slower to make it feel realistic and functional inside a 3D space. We decided to wash some of those... Oh, geez, what the hell? Who wrote this? decided to wash some of those foundations away and rebuild something better. Our design goals for this update were as follows. Underwater combat should not be any less effective than its on-land counterpart. Underwater movement can be significantly more effective. Underwater skills should have combat flow parallels to on-land weapons. Your character may still appear to move more slowly than they do out of water, but enemies shouldn't take longer to kill. Traversing an underwater environment should be a fluid experience, and you should feel like you're still playing your own character and profession. Here are a few examples of profession changes. The Elementalist Tidal Wave skill now moves players at nearly double its previous speed, and it scales damage based on the distance it traveled.
Yeah.
The Guardian's Trident auto attack has been reworked and is now a three-part ranged chain, which should flow much better into its other skills. And the Revenant gains the underwater use of a trident, as well as the ability to channel Jalus, granting them much greater versatility and playstyle options. Mm-hmm. So, any thoughts on any of that?
I welcome this change. I've not been one of the detractors for underwater combat. Like, I understand why people might not care for it. I always enjoyed it. That said, this feels really good when I'm underwater with Alona. I haven't tried it on any of the other professions yet. I kind of understand why maybe it was supposed to, because when you're underwater, you can't move as fast. But then again, this is magic and, you know, fantasy and not reality. So,
And soon to change because of the new rewards. And we'll talk about that. Sunken treasure. Compared to Tyria's Terra Firma, the water is largely unexplored. Rumor has it that a dive master with a passion for discovering underwater treasure is arriving in Lion's Arch, and she has tasked for Tyrians who are unafraid to take a plunge. The crate may hold the key to discovering chests long thought lost to time and the sea. Perhaps you'll be the one to recover those forgotten treasures and bring some unique rewards back from the depths, like an ascended quality diver's breather. Mm-hmm. And new breather exclusive infusions to enhance your seaworthiness both in and out of combat. Becoming the swiftest diver under the sea will require dedication, and no self-respecting salty sea dog wants to miss the freebooter title. We hope to see you swimming along soon. So, did you guys see the new ascended breathing apparatus?
I love it.
Yes. I haven't seen it. Well, does anybody have it? Nobody could have it yet, right? Because it doesn't. You have to unlock all the chests, right?
Doesn't it drop as a super rare drop or something from one of the chests?
I thought you just pay for it.
You can, for some reason, I read somewhere that it could be a drop in something, but I might have.
I think you could just buy the infusions, and technically, you could have it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's an excellent screenshot of it in the blog post, and.
So do you think this is going to open the door for more cosmetic breathers?
No, because I think this is like underwater's last big hurrah. Like I talk about there being an underwater expansion, but there's never going to be an underwater expansion.
We were joshing mostly about that.
Yeah.
Do you think then, so no underwater skins? You don't think there's anything
like underwater mounts?
Well, I meant weapon specifically. Like,
gotcha.
I think when Guild Wars 2 is played out, every other option, they might do something underwater. But underwater, like, as Apocalypse, who was it? Something Apocalypse.
Alexis Apocalypse.
Yeah, as they were saying, underwater expansions have not been successful. And, I would imagine that Arena is pretty hesitant to do anything underwater. So,
well, certainly not solely. There would need to be a blend of
a mix.
Yeah, but yeah, I can recognize that.
So, what did you guys think of the infusions that add swimming speed?
I sold mine because you told me to. So,
me too.
Eventually, the prices are going to go down, and I do recommend that you sell them now while they're like a gold a piece. Because I have to imagine they'll just plummet over time.
Yeah. Well, I like the idea of it. And you actually made a really interesting point when we were tootling around yesterday that with the swimming and speed infusions, that kind of negates ever the possibility of underwater mounts.
Yeah. I mean, because you can get up like, what, a 30% speed increase? Yeah.
The only thing is that mounts, one of the things that mounts can give aside from just a speed boost is flavor. So you get that initial attack. Yep. You, like there's skills around that and then the flavor of being on them.
And Arena is pretty creative. Like I assume that mm-hmm. they could come up with something that you would require, you need a mount, like the Griffin flies, and I'm sure there could be an underwater mount that does something that is unique to it.
Yeah.
But I don't think there ever will be.
I wouldn't necessarily think ever, but we posted that poll knowing that it's not necessarily likely.
So moving on to the release notes for Living World, updated the description of the Endless Omicron Tonic to clarify that it transforms characters into an Omicron Sand Elemental.
That's a pretty big distinction.
Yeah, they're kind of expensive, so people were complaining about
not being
like
able
they
to
thought they would
char.
They thought they were going to turn into a char.
Yeah, I mean that.
I would have thought
would
so.
Be, yeah, yeah. So that's good. Under general, some of the icons that players can select on the world map or compass have changed. When holding shift and left clicking, the options are now a red circle, the default, a sword, a shield, a caution sign, and a red X.
I haven't played with this yet to see. Is it kind of like a backtrack to what it was previously a little bit?
I don't
know.
No?
Wasn't there like
they
a...
They just replaced the green checkmark with
that's
a
That's what
sword
I was just
going
to say. Okay. And that's only visible to your party, right? Or your squad?
Okay. I think
squad and
maybe
party.
Your party. I don't know. Yeah.
Fixed an issue in which the mini Griffin mount was not properly included in the loot tables on silver and gold reward chests for expert and master Griffin achievements adventures.
That's kind of a big oversight.
Yeah. Well, you two have never done those adventures,
no.
So I don't know why you're...
No, no, no.
I'm concerned for other people.
All. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. For the 1%.
Yeah.
Dive Master Astora has arrived in Lion's Arch with a proposal for adventurers who are interested in pursuing sunken treasure.
I've done two of those so far.
Only two?
Yep. Two keys. Yeah, I haven't done tonight.
Oh, okay.
I attempted to do two, and I ran into trouble tonight when I tried to do one that I tried to open a chest that I'd already opened the previous night, but it was a separate day. Reset had gone by. I had a key and I could not open it.
And you will not stop talking.
I will
about
not.
It.
I mean, you said that there's no way that you have to, you can only open the chest once. Are you sure? Maybe you have to open all of the chests once and then you can repeat them. I don't know.
Then why would you have a 10 crate a day thing? I don't
know. Well, no, like maybe once you open all of the different chests and you get that achievement, then you can open any chest.
I think you're the only one having this problem.
I think I am.
You said you were going to look at the forums or something, didn't you?
I did.
And nothing?
Nothing. Moving on. achievements have been added for sunken chests, as we were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Items. Added swim speed infusions for upgrading aquatic headgear, as we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And also added a new ascended breathing apparatus with a unique skin, also mentioned before.
Cool skin.
Yes.
It is a cool skin.
It's a cool skin.
It would be cool if in cold environments it got like frosty, like it was starting to freeze over.
Ooh.
That's never going to happen, but it'd be cool.
I want a fishbowl one that has a little mini fish inside of it. And like,
but that would be on land. And you'd
no,
drown.
It's like meta, like you're in the water in a fishbowl in the water.
Ooh, it's fish swim around the bowl because it's glass with air.
It's
inside.
Like an inverted fishbowl.
Yes.
Oh. Alona, I'm having trouble reading this next bullet point. Could you increase the font size?
Okay, I will take it. I'll take it from 30 to 60. There you go.
Oh my gosh. Okay. To be fair, this next bullet point. I tweeted it. Alona tweeted it. Or did you? Or I don't know. Like
I just commented on yours. Yeah.
Skimmer increased the water hovering movement speed of this mount by about 20. Okay, wait, what the heck? About 21%. Why did they just increase it 21%? Why does it have to be like, guys, we're going to increase this 20.765. Everybody okay with that?
I mean, unless it's different depending on, like you were saying, Hunter, is it the same under with shallow water as it is over deeper water?
Really?
I was testing that because I had thought that there was something off about the mount speed before this, but I couldn't, you know, put my.
I think it's because sometimes in shallow you skim over land that's not actually registering as water.
Right. Well, no, I was testing that. I was going from shallow water to land to shallow water to land, and you like speed up, slow down.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely feels a lot slower on land now after skimming around on the water.
This feels to me like this is because I remember when mounts were introduced and they said it's going to move much faster over water than it does over land. That is one of the benefits of skimmer, aside from not having to swim through danger. But it's nice.
It's so zippy. Nice.
It is very zippy.
I like it. It's a good thing. And then let's see. So we have some general notes about profession skills, and then we're going to break it down. Don't know where that came from. Okay.
You're tired.
Oh, all right. Confusion. That's a good one. This condition has been reworked and will now inflict more damage to non-player enemies than players instead of being split between game modes.
Basically, that's them agreeing that confusion is in a bad place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we're going to go through, obviously, as per usual with us, we're just going to hit on a couple highlights here and there, not read everything. But I think this one, the confusion one, is kind of, highlights a theme here with the moving away from the split between game modes, which is interesting because I feel like they worked so hard at all this balance stuff. Like we've had so many notes that we've read that, you know, in PvP only.
It's now been split here.
WV and PvP only. And then this one's kind of almost all the reverse. So interesting theme. Mm-hmm. And Hunter is going to kick us off with Elementalist.
Yeah, how did you word this? This is weird. Why did you word it like that?
It was more just...
So, we agreed we were going to put in something that talks about skill splits, and Alona wrote, skill is no longer split between game modes and other stories, like big changes, unquote.
It was just a reminder. No. We're supposed to read it verbatim. It was supposed to be a reminder that we wanted to talk about that.
Right. So the only thing under Elementalist that I want to talk about really is Meteor Shower, which has been pretty OP for a while now and just like a huge AoE. And I guess it's supposed to be, but like it's been pretty overpowered. And they changed it to the internal cooldown of the skill has been removed when used against PvE targets, and its initial damage has been increased by 23%, which is a buff, pretty crazy buff, but damage will now decline by 10% for each subsequent hit, capping at a minimum value equal to 10% of the initial impact damage. But people figured out already that like you can get a bit of a DPS increase if you just cancel out of the cast after the first few seconds.
Doesn't take people long, does it?
No. And there's all kinds of people testing and messing with Meteor Shower.
But there was a huge outcry about this initially, wasn't there?
Because it's a pretty big nerf overall. And it kind of punishes you for continuing to cast something.
Isn't this a big isn't this used a lot in dub?
Yeah.
So does this a lot? Is this change only for PvE, but also, let's see, removed when used against PvE targets? Has the whole
this was a big thing? Problem for raids, actually, if I'm remembering correctly. This change.
I don't write enough to comment. There was also Tempest Defense. I heard some people complaining about because they nerfed that as well. They reduced the damage increase from 20% to 10% against disabled foes. You do 20% more damage against disabled foes. So they're cutting that bonus in half.
That's a pretty big change. But Ellie's really crazy powerful. Also, they would die if you breathed on them, but, you know.
That's true.
So you had some underwater skills that you thought were interesting, Alona, like Ice Globe.
Well,
the skill no longer passes through targets and instead detonates upon impact with the first target it hits.
Like, that's a pretty big change. Mostly you called out ones that were actual changes to functionality rather than just, you know, increased damage, decreased this, that sort of thing. So the fact that it's before it was just a pass through that would do damage to anything that it went through, it's like, nope, now it's an explosion. Anyway.
And I think I mentioned Tidal Wave earlier when we were talking about underwater changes. Magnetic Current. This skill no longer pulls the elementalist to the target. Instead, it now launches a large projectile that reflects all projectiles in its path back to their casters. Yeah. Sort of an interesting change, but it's an underwater skill, so. And finally, Lightning Flash. The skill can now be used underwater. I don't even know the skill offhand. Lightning Flash?
I'm not 100% sure.
Utility skill?
It must be a utility skill.
No idea.
It can't be a weapon skill.
It is a utility skill, and it's a cantrip of some type. Yeah.
So I actually thought there would be... This might be a discussion more for the end, but I thought there'd be a lot more skills made usable underwater than there were.
Well, but maybe that has to do with the difficulty of balance. So maybe they want to be slow and kind of working through all that.
Maybe.
I think balancing is probably easier than like changing the functionality of skills and reworking them so that they work underwater. I think that's a lot harder than just balancing some.
It's possible.
Yep. All right, moving on to Engineer. For retreating grapple, this skill has been reworked and renamed Capture Line. Capture Line has a 12-second cooldown and inflicts bleeding while it pulls a target toward the player.
Yeah, that's basically the opposite of what it used to do. It used to be like to escape from mobs, and now it's pulling you towards them.
Ah.
Yep.
So it's a different, different play style tactic. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And then skipping on down to Rocket Boots. This skill can now be used underwater. Its tooltips and description have been updated to reflect this change. That seems
odd. I've seen people pretty happy about this. They've been upset about some other nerfs, but they really like this.
Rocket Boots is a pretty fun skill. I haven't yet to use it underwater.
What does it do?
It sends you flying forward.
Hmm.
Rocket Boots?
I mean, interesting. And then the med kit has been reworked to include Med Blaster. Increase the healing power multiplier by 500% on the blaster's base heal. Increase the healing power multiplier by 80% on its heals per boon. Base healing has been decreased by 33%. Throw bandages. This skill has been replaced with Bandage Blast, which fires 5 bandages in an arc ahead of the player, healing and granting regeneration to any allies they strike. Throw Stimulant. This skill has been replaced with Cleansing Field, which creates a temporary water combo field and removes conditions every second that allies are within the field. Throw Accelerant. This skill has been replaced with Vital Burst, which heals allies in an area around the player. And then Throw Antidote. This skill has been replaced with Infusion Bomb, which throws a bomb that grants several boons to allies when exploded.
pretty interesting changes.
Mm-hmm.
That 500% increased on, what was it?
Med Blaster?
The healing power multiplier.
The base heal.
500%.
Yeah. That's huge.
Well, the multiplier. Yeah. I'm sure it'll be interesting. Just having a water field you can blast is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That could see some use finally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then adaptive armor fixed a bug in which this trait granted barrier before the inflicting strike was applied, preventing barrier from stacking. Increased the healing power contribution of the barrier granted by this trait by 150%. I didn't know that engineers really were support in the healing area. Is that like a common play style?
No, but the turrets, yeah.
Yeah,
there's a but they're few not great. Healy type things, but it's not really commonly used. Barrier is seeing a bit more use with the Hollowsmith, but I haven't seen that commonly used either. So I just thought it was interesting that they made this change.
Yeah, kind of in the same vein, health insurance. This trait has been reworked and now grants a 10% increase to healing effectiveness at all times and a 10% increase to healing effectiveness for allies when using a med kit. Pinpoint
more healing stuff. Sorry, no, just more healing stuff.
Yep. Pinpoint distribution reduced the condition damage granted by this trait from 150 to 100 at level 80.
So there's a bunch of changes to traits that give people around you like a buff.
Yeah.
Like Spotter gives you 180 precision and they nerf that to like 100 precision. And I think Pinpoint Distribution is similar to Spotter in that it gave people 150 condition damage, but they've nerfed it. So.
And finally, Medical Dispersion Field increased the amount the player heals allies from 20% to 50% of the amount the player is healed. Wow. That's a big jump.
We should always make you read this without for the first pre-reading it. It is a big jump.
Yeah.
Just adding some healing functionality all over the engineer. I don't know if it'll make it meta, but
yeah. Oh, I wonder if we'll see it kind of leech into raid play at all in some way, shape, or form.
Well, and I know there's a lot of people who enjoy, like, even outside of raids, but just in parties being a more supporty, and but they also like playing engineer. And I think engineer was supposed to always have this component, but it's nice that they're getting some love there. Moving on to Guardian, for the Trident, the auto attack for this weapon now performs three attacks. Light Ball, fire a sundering ball of light that damages foes. This attack inflicts vulnerability for 6 seconds upon impact. Detonate Light, fire a ball of light that detonates upon impact to heal allies and damage foes. This skill inflicts vulnerability for 6 seconds to enemies it strikes. And finally, Judgment of Light, fire a barrage of bouncing light missiles that damage enemies and heal allies. That's actually really nice. Have you either of you used Trident underwater with Guardian?
No.
No?
Yeah, or occasionally. Not since these changes, is that what you're asking?
Well, either. Yeah.
Well, it was like pretty useless, to be honest, previously.
This will be a nice change. Pillar of Light. This skill is now a symbol and has been renamed Symbol of Light. So what was it? It was just like a regular skill before, I guess? Like it wasn't a symbol?
Yeah, and in Guild Wars 1, I think this is the Ray of Light skill you get on the monk.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Refraction. This skill no longer requires that the player remain still while casting. Any changes to skills that allow you to move while doing them,
I'm good thing.
Totally fine with.
Mm-hmm.
It always seemed a little bit incongruous to me to have that, like, where movement and action were always a big, like, such a big part of combat. I'm like, no, not for this one. This one you have to not move. This one you have to stand still. Weight of Justice. This skill now repeatedly delivers physical strikes to the target and no longer deals condition damage. The effect will stop if the target uses a stun break. So I don't really know much about this particular skill. So Spear Wall. This skill is now a symbol and has been renamed Symbol of Spears. The symbol no longer pushes the guardian backward and instead activates a spear wall a short distance in front of the guardian. It now deals damage in a full sphere with a radius of 180 that's upgradable through traits instead of the previous rectangular area of effect. This seems insane. I want to try this.
Yeah.
Kind of think that's awesome. Receive the Light fixed a bug in which the tooltip numbers for the self-healing pulse did not display properly and fixed a bug that prevented this skill from healing more than four allies. Reduce the base heal by 20% and increase the healing power contribution by 300%. Reduce the base heal value to allies by 20% and increase the healing power contribution by 200%.
Yeah, they're just trying to make healing power a
thing.
An actual thing.
Viable. And finally for Guardian, Strength in Numbers. Reduce the toughness granted by this trait from 150 to 100 at level 80.
So that's another one of those group buffs.
That we're always...
where you get a passive 150 toughness that's been nerfed. I think.
Cool. Moving on to Mesmer. Spinning Revenge. This skill has been reworked and renamed Imminent Voyage. It now grants allies chaos armor if they are within a 600 radius, and it creates a clone at the player's position before they retreat. So that's quite a big change. I think that one, which one is that one? I
feel like I'm trying to remember what it used to do.
Yeah, I always want to go to, when things like this happen, I want to go to the wiki and see like the historical, what things were.
I was struggling with that a little bit earlier, where if it had changed, or if the wiki had already been updating, trying to figure out how to go back and see the past.
So Spinning Revenge is a trident skill, and you grant retaliation to nearby allies and summon a clone to attack your foe. You gain chaos armor.
It's now more people can get chaos
armor. We all get. So it's interesting that we see a theme across many professions of healing that play style getting kind of a boost.
Yeah. Feigned Surge, I believe that one's on the spear. Increased the damage of this skill by 200% and clarified in the text. Clarified the text in its tooltips. The Mesmer now charges at their target enemy, striking up to five enemies along the way before summoning a clone upon reaching the target. Now, this is a fairly big difference. This one was you would just shoot forward previously in the direction you were facing.
Superman.
Yeah. And you would damage foes along the route. And then if you hit the skill again, it would teleport you back to your original location. And this one, even though I read the things, it threw me off a few times because I would hit it expecting to go straight and I would like change direction and go towards the nearest enemy that was around me. I'm like, this isn't what I want to do. So I'm the damage increase is awesome. I have to get used to it. I'm not sure if I like the change yet, but I don't mind. You know, it's more just I used this one a lot previously in its previous incarnation. Mm-hmm. Null Field. This skill can now be used underwater, creating its field at the player's location. And this is a really nice one because you can trait for Null Field. For the glamour skills. And if we're underwater, if you traded for glamour skills, there weren't a lot of options for underwater. So this is a nice. Nice one. I wish there were more things that could be underwater. And finally, Mirage Advance. This skill can now be used underwater. So Mesmer got two that got moved into that.
Hmm? Which one is Mirage Advance?
Let me just check.
I'm looking. Shadow Step and unleash an attack that blinds your target and nearby foes. You may reactivate the skill to return to your original position.
Okay. That's so this is a little bit maybe... because they changed Fane's Surge, they moved kind of that porting capability to this.
Well, Mirage Advance isn't necessarily an underwater skill. I mean, it's now an underwater skill. I mean, okay, well.
All right, so for the Necromancer, Necromancer is sitting pretty nicely right now with their underwater skills, not complaining here. So I wanted to highlight Crimson Tide. This skill now fires a projectile at enemies rather than delivering a direct attack. The projectile strikes the target twice over a short duration upon impact, inflicting bleeding for 2 seconds with each impact. The skill is now used with other Necromancer Trident attacks. And then there are a bunch of Trident attacks that then now make use of Crimson Tide. So that will be interesting to try out because basically when I play underwater with my Necro, I pretty much button mash. I have no idea what things do. And hope for the best. So
it's the only class you play.
But I mean, when you're underwater so infrequently, and to be fair, if you play mostly PvE and you're underwater, you pretty much poke something and it's going to die. So it's not like you really need to be creative with your killing method.
Nevertheless, I think you would learn to at least be able to describe your skill.
Well, duly noted. when it comes to spear, there were bunch of skills that had damage increases by quite a lot. I mean, like Cruel Strike skill was increased, damage increased by 38%, Wicked Strike increased 42%, Reaper's Scythe 30%, Wicked Spiral increased 33%. So good damage buffs.
One of those is like that spinning. Yeah. Necro skill is already like super powerful, so
now it's more powerful.
It's got Wicked Spiral, I think it is. 33% buff.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it out. I mean, all that I've tried out so far has been poking at Crate, so I haven't like specifically figured it out yet, but good stuff. And then moving on down. Then we got into a bunch of stuff that, like we were saying earlier, where the split was changed, where there were splits between game modes, and now there are no longer splits between game modes, and PvE kind of got a boost from these things. Like Signet of Vampirism, the cooldown and base healing of the skill are no longer split, and it will now use the lower 30-second cooldown and the higher 25% base heal in all modes. So that kind of theme permeates through Well of Blood, Spectral Grass, Signet of Locust, where the split is no longer there, and you get the extra juice. So lots of good stuff for Necros. And you know what? Necros... we like to complain a lot about how we are overlooked and we get nerfed a lot, but the past couple balances, we've kind of gotten good stuff. So, yeah. And then finally, Well of Power. This skill now grants 8 seconds of might per pulse to allies who remain within its area of effect in addition to its previous effects. 8 seconds of might. I couldn't remember what it used to be, but 8 seconds of might is pretty dang impressive.
Bonkers.
Yeah. So chat, if any of you remember, let us know.
If it's only one stack, I mean, it's not that great.
Maybe, but
if it stacks multiple stacks, then not that's
sure.
pretty good.
Not sure.
Anyway, to Ranger. So Evasive Strike, this skill has been renamed Toxic Strike and no longer evades attacks. Instead, it now applies 1 stack of poison for 6 seconds on enemies it strikes. Its damage has been increased by 25%, and the Ranger is now allowed to move while using the skill. The aftercast has been reduced by 0.2 seconds. All of that is boring. I don't know why we have to talk about this skill, but somebody put it in here.
Was it me?
Oh, wait. Wait, no, it was me because of the rename the Toxic Strike and also being able to use it while moving.
Oh god! Oh, what a amazing change!
I care.
Dart. This skill has been renamed Surging Maw, and his ending strike will now inflict bleeding based on how long the ranger has been moving. Interesting.
I like that. Yeah, that like movement piece.
Mm-hmm.
I'd appreciate seeing something like that on land, I guess.
Agreed.
Uh-huh.
Manowar. This skill now strikes up to 8 times on a target, immobilizing them on the final attack, and it now functions like ammunition. Up to 2 ammunition recharges every 25 seconds, with 4 seconds between uses. The ranger can now move while executing the skill. I don't remember what skill
I don't 100% either. I actually feel like 25 seconds might be a little too long of a recharge time, though.
Is a spear skill.
But for ammunition as well. Like, yeah. Just a little too long, I think.
Hornet Sting. That's a dagger or a sword? It's one of the dagger or sword skills. Damage of the skill has been increased by 12%. Monarch's Leap. The damage of the skill has been increased by 14%. Those are weird percentages to be upping, but whatever. Cosmic Ray. Oh, this is where we get into the druid nerfs. Lots of big druid nerfs. Cosmic Ray. Reduce the healing of the skill by 30%. Seed of Life. Reduce the healing of the skill by 35%. Lunar Impact. The heal scaling of the skill is no longer split between game modes and will now use the lower 20% reduced heal scaling in all modes. Rejuvenating Tides. Reduce the healing of this skill by 40%. Quickening Zephyr. Reduce the cooldown of the skill from 50 seconds to 45 seconds. It's just a minor reduce in recharge. But for Quickening Zephyr, that's pretty cool because people really used to like that. And then we're moving into Water Spirit. A bunch of the spirits got buffs. So Water Spirit increased the chance that the ranger is healed when they strike a target from 75% to 100%. So basically every time you hit something, when you're under the effect of a ranger spirit now, something procs. So Stone Spirit, Storm Spirit, Sun Spirit, Frost Spirit. It's all going to proc 100% of the time now. Frost Trap. The damage of the skill is increased by 25%. It should increase the duration of the chill, if you ask me. I mean, but...
Yeah, but people like do a lot... I'm not sure... Duration's a tricky one because there's so many ways to mitigate the duration.
The number of times I'm in World versus World and I like unload an AoE skill... And someone's got that trait where, if he hits me, he gets chill on him for 3 minutes. That happens a lot in World vs. World due to, what is it? It's frost armor. But yeah, that's super annoying. So I want my frost to last longer. Sikkim, reduce the cooldown of the skill from 40 seconds to 35 seconds. A 5-second reduction is... Personally, in my opinion, not enough. It should be like 30 seconds. I mean, stealth is such a huge advantage. You can just play with people. Some way to fight back would be nice. Call of the Wild. Reduce the duration of fury, swiftness, and might granted by this skill from 15 seconds to 10 seconds. So maybe Well of Power isn't that great. And... that was a funny joke that you didn't laugh at, but fine.
I didn't understand it. He's talking about.
Please explain your joke.
Call of the Wild duration used to be 15 seconds. It's now 10 seconds, which is still longer than Well of Power's 8-second mic duration. True. Propulse. Anyway, mic grant by the skill has been increased from 3 stacks to 6 stacks.
But see, that's the thing. Like, we need to know how many stacks Well of Power gives.
To the probably has pretty long duration, but 1 stack is not that interesting. Windborne Notes. Reduce the duration of Call of the Wild's regeneration from 10 seconds to 6 seconds. I don't know what that's even talking about. Vernon Etching. Reduce the healing of this trait by 35%. There's more druid nerfing. Lingering Light. This trait no longer grants its effect when healing an ally. It now grants its effect when entering Celestial Avatar form. While in Celestial Avatar form, outgoing healing into allies is increased by 50%. That's not so bad. Is that a trait, Lingering Light? That does increase things quite a bit, but just on entering Celestial Avatar form. So, interesting. Spotter, reduce the precision granted by this trait from 150 to 100 at level 80. Another group buff, debuff thing. And then finally, Loud Whistle. This trait now grants the soul beast increased damage if they have merged with their pet, which is great because I just switched to soul beast and I'm using soul beast on my ranger now. And I'll just have to find out how much of a damage increase that is.
So the nerfs to druid, but the buffs to the healing, they're trying to spread out healing abilities among all the professions or more of the professions. Is that what we're seeing here?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, druid was pretty much the go-to for healing.
But I like this because, yet again, this ties back to my hashtag predicts of underwater raids, and they're trying to get away from druids being the only viable healers.
But why does that have to do
How
with underwater?
Go to underwater raid. What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Like, you're like, I have no idea. I'm just going. It goes back to this thing that has no relation. Moving on to Revenant, updated the border thickness of the icons for the Ventari and Glint enhancements. They now have the same border thickness as the other legends.
Wait, I'm sure this as a graphic designer, Alona, this
it has changed my world. Yep. I will now play Revenant more, way more than I did before. I just loved that update note. It delighted me. Anyway, Mistfire, this new skill fires a single projectile that inflicts conditions based on what legend is active. This is specifically to underwater, obviously. Rift of Pain, this new skill saturates the target, creating a chilling area around them with a field type that is based on which legend the Revenant is attuned to upon casting the skill. Allies in the affected area gain beneficial effects. Reckoning Blast. This new skill releases a blast of mist's energy that heals allies and knocks enemies back. Inflict conditions that are based on the player's current legend each time a target is struck. Torrential Mists. Release the mists from the Revenant's aura has a chance to inflict conditions that are based on the active legend. And finally, to the underwater updates for Revenant, Jalus, this legend can now be used underwater. So there's a lot more. I feel like this is a lot more functionality for Revenant underwater, which is nice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check out the twirling hammers. What's it called? Whirling hammers, maybe.
Well, that won't be under.
Twirling hammers.
Twirling hammers. We should name everything.
And isn't that that brick road, isn't that on Jalus?
Yeah.
So how does that work underwater?
Well, that grants stability, right?
Yeah. And it's a air field if you blast it, so you get swiftness.
Seven shot, reduce the casting time of this skill from 0.75 seconds to a little over 0.25 seconds. It's very specific. A bunch of renegade shortbow skills got reduced cast times. This is our note that Hunter very nicely put in for me, because there are a crap ton of skills that have had that happen. Mm-hmm. And finally, Pulsating Pestilence. This trait now transfers, instead of copying, up to three conditions from the player to nearby enemies when swapping legends. It's a pretty big change.
All right. On to Thief. Sorry. All right. Flanking Dive, this skill no longer inflicts vulnerability and instead deals bonus damage if the target is attacked from the side or from behind. Movement has been changed so that if the thief is not in melee range or is behind or to the side of the target, the thief will now charge straight forward instead of strafing around the enemy. That's quite detailed. Interesting. I have no idea. Check it out. Hooked Spear. For the cost of 3 initiative. Sorry, my voice is going. I'm back. Okay. Hooked Spear. For the cost of 3 initiative, this new skill delivers a melee strike to enemies around the thief, applying 1 stack of bleeding for 10 seconds each time the skill hits.
That's nice.
That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Ink Shot. This skill will now grant stealth to the thief if they have struck the target before shadow stepping to the missile. Fixed a bug in which this skill dealt 25% less damage than intended.
I like that. I like the stealth thing is interesting for that.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. Blinding powder. This skill can now be used underwater. I don't know what it
shouldn't
is.
Shouldn't it be blinding sludge underwater?
And Thieves Guild. Reduce the cooldown of the skill from 180 seconds to 120 seconds and reduce the duration that allied thieves assist the player from 30 seconds to 24 seconds in PvE and WW. I didn't know you could actually call them in WW. That's interesting.
Why would you be
I don't know.
Able to call them in WW?
I just...
So this is one of the few ones where they actually did the opposite of merging back together. This is like, no, we're this one we're separating.
Yeah.
So, onto the warrior. Brutal Shot. This skill has been renamed Puncture Shot. The tilt-up for this skill has been updated to correctly reflect the existing immobilized-related effects. Is this just a rename? Doesn't say anything
it
about
seems,
the functionality.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they... I'm not sure why it was necessary, unless there's something they want to bring in that... I don't know. I just thought it was interesting it was a straight-up rename with nothing else different.
That is weird.
Okay. Nutshot. The skill now has a backward evade upon execution. What? What?
Did you say not shot or nut shot? Because those are two very different things.
I prefer nut shot. Okay. It's a way better name than nut shot.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to evade backwards upon execution of that. Yeah.
Do you remember what this did previous, if it now is an evade backwards?
Okay.
No. It's probably just the same thing plus an evade. Anyway, Crushing Blow. The vulnerability stacks applied by this skill are no longer split between game modes, and the skill will inflict 15 stacks of vulnerability for 6 seconds in all modes, in addition to using the 25% increased damage values. Is that a hammer skill?
I don't know. Yeah, seems sounds like it.
Looking it up. I can find it real quick. Crushing Blow. Here it is. It is an offhand mace skill. Doesn't this already do 15 vulnerability?
Maybe it's the six. That's maybe it's the 6 seconds in all modes.
10 vulnerability, the wiki says. Huh. Okay. Well, and finally, empower allies. Reduce the power granted by this trait from 150 to 100. This is another group... skill where you buff people for 150 power overly. Oops, now it's 100.
Like the surprise, it's an accident that this happened.
Right. And
moving on to the elite specializations, which is really just Deadeye, a message from Robert Gee, Guild Wars 2 systems team. There was a post that said, "Hello all to all the sneaky thieves out there. I'm unstealthing today to reveal details of the upcoming changes to the Deadeye profession. In a previous update, we increased the damage of rifle skills to put Deadeye in a good spot from a DPS perspective. So this update is focused more around improving their gameplay patterns and mechanics. The main areas we're looking to address are malice complexity. Malice gain rules are obscure and don't allow much interaction from the Deadeye. Rifle flexibility. Rifle optimal damage combos are bland and the weapon lacks adaptability. And trait synergies. Minor traits fight with each other and there aren't strong choices at some tiers." So this was the post that went out prior to... yesterday's patch, or Tuesday's patch rather, and there's a lot here, and we'd be here for probably another hour going just through Deadeye, but I wanted to call out specifically the malice and stolen skills because they're just the general that affect everything else. For malice, it no longer generates over time. Instead, one malice is gained whenever the player hits their marked target with a skill that has an initiative cost, and they gain an additional one malice if that skill critically hits. These gains can only occur once per use. Malice no longer increases damage to the player's marked target. And for stolen skills, these skills no longer scale their effects based on malice stacks. So those are the two like fairly major changes, and everything's been touched. By the looks of it, for Deadeye. Any comments about those from you guys? Nope. I have yet to actually play Deadeye ever, so I have nothing to input. Structured player versus player, players can no longer channel special objectives while under the influence of Mirage Cloak. This includes the meditation enhancements in Temple of the Silent Storm, the Sword of Reaping and Shield of Life in Eternal Colosseum, the Orb in Spirit Watch, and the Supply Piles and Mist Essences in Battle of Champions Dusk. So, Mirage Cloak, no longer your get-out-of-jail-free card.
And that is it for part two. We need a theme song just for the Black Lion Trading Company.
All right.
Get it here. Okay. Black Lion Trading Company.
And now we're moving on to the Black Lion Trading Company Gem Store. New items and promotions. A new Shrine Guardian Jackal skin is available in the style category of the gem store for 2,000 gems.
People have gone berserk over this thing. Berserk.
Popular. It's beautiful. It's nice.
I've seen people going berserk. What makes you say they're going berserk?
Because I see people going berserk.
I've seen a lot on Twitter and on Facebook. On Facebook.
Yeah.
Particularly.
I saw one Reddit post where there was like 10 people in Lion's Arch with the new skin. But like,
the rainbow ones?
That happens every time. What do you mean rainbow ones?
Oh, there was, maybe this was on Facebook where someone logged in and it was like a number of the jackals together and they were all dyed a different, very bright color and they were organized as a rainbow.
Nice.
So.
In addition, for a limited time, the Ilonian Landscape Dye Kit and the Jormag Dye Kit return to the Upgrades category of the Gem Store for 125 gems each. More dye kits will return to the Gem Store throughout this week.
I honestly feel like they should massively... If they're going... So you get these types of dyes out of the chests, the Black Lion chests. I feel like if you're going to sell them in this capacity, they really need to be reduced in price.
Yeah.
Because especially now, granted, I'm coming at it from the perspective of someone who's been in the game for a long time. And like a lot of people who've been in the game for a long time have a crap ton of dyes already unlocked. So it just feels so bad if you like, and I actually don't buy these hardly ever because for 125 gems to then get lime ice dye is pretty anger making.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they should only have gem store exclusive dyes and they should not be tradable on the trading post, in my opinion.
That's not a bad idea.
I agree.
If they're going to sell them for real money, like people are spending real money to get gems to buy these dye kits and then get something, then you can get something for
agree.
Two silver you could have got on the trading post. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just want to know the numbers here. Like how many people are actually buying Jormag dye kits?
Okay,
really?
So to be fair, I don't because it's too much money to get lime ice dye. But you do get a fair number from Blacklion chests. That said, it's also disappointing to get these kits in the chests because you open them and then you get lime ice dye. So,
right.
Like, regardless, it feels bad.
Mm. So moving on to the Black Lion chests themselves, the Black Lion chest has been updated to the Distant Visitor's chest and can be previewed for a full list of its contents. The Black Lion Material Bag Istan has been added as the new guaranteed item. The new Exalted Gloves are available as an uncommon drop for the duration of the Distant Visitor's chest. And Hunter has much to say on the naming of these gloves.
He tweeted. He tweeted what he said to say.
Well, it's ridiculous. We've already got Exalted Gloves. The light exotic crafted armor set is called the Exalted Armor Set, and they have Exalted Gloves. That's literally what they're called. So for them to just ignore that, let's make some Exalted Gloves and put them in the gem store, I'm sure that's not confusing to anybody. Plus, you know, there's exalted NPCs, and like, can we get some quality assurance on naming conventions for Guild Wars 2, please? Because this is not the first time something like this has happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of the gloves themselves?
They're pretty good.
I actually got some tonight.
Are they fully dyeable?
I think so. I actually didn't. It was right when we were logging in doing dailies really quick before the show, so I haven't played with them yet.
Nice. The new Shrine Guardian Jackal skin is available as an uncommon drop for the duration of the Distant Visitor's Chest. This is actually pretty cool because that's, what, a 2,000 gem drop? And it's been dropping for people, according to Reddit and Facebook. So
you must have to buy like 25, 50 keys to get it that way, though.
I don't know. I heard somebody say that they did a key run, one key, got it.
I've never gotten much of anything that's in above uncommon.
Festy took 88 keys.
Holy moly, Festy!
And I think, but I think Coffee and Quest got it in 5.
Well, Coffee and Quest can go to hell.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
I have not got it, but.
I don't know how I feel about trying to get it through chests. I feel like if it happens, it's a happy thing, but I feel like trying to get it that way is kind of rough.
Yeah, that one, it's one of those, it's nice that it's both. That's more if you buy chests or keys for chests and you get it, awesome. But if you really, really want it, you'll probably just buy it.
Moving on, unused versions of the Glyph of the Unbound and the Glyph of the Watch Knight are available as rare drops for the duration of the Distant Visitor's Chest.
I have not got a single Glyph yet. Mm.
Yep.
You mean that you didn't already have, like, the Sprocket or the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, these ones from the... From the chests.
I think on the last show I said that, you couldn't get... Well, or like I said something that was wrong because I had a infinite Sprocket Watchword glyph and I couldn't exchange it for some reason because I hadn't exchanged my Sprocket Mining Pick for the account bound version. I still had the soul bound version, so I couldn't get the glyph out of it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So there was a miscommunication there.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
All right. The items available for Blackline statuettes have been updated. Blackline statuettes are redeemable by using the statuette itself or redeeming one at any of the Blackline chest merchants located in every major city. A new selection of toy combos have been added. The exclusive Griffin Hatchling package and the mini Duenas Messenger have been added. And additional items, including the Hawk Wings Glider combo, Quaggan backpack covers, and the Zodiac armor sets have been added.
I'm liking the statuettes more and more, except for one thing. They change what is available for the statuettes pretty often. Hmm. And just before I got enough statuettes to get a glider, they took all the gliders out.
Oh, I didn't know they took them out.
Yeah.
I was saving up.
Fix it up. Well, no, exactly. I think they'll come back in, though. Like, it's cyclical. I don't think it's going to be like, we're never them back in here again.
I mean, we have no proof of that.
They did put in the Hawkwing glider combo or whatever for statuettes. But
I feel like it's when things get removed from the gem store and it's like returning items.
I think there's another glider in there as well, but I forget which one it is. And they took out like all the classic ones, the classical, the ironclad, the floral, the phoenix, and whatever.
I think I opened 15 chests. And I didn't get the mount, but I did. I got an item that sells for like between 500 and 600 gold. So there's that.
And I was going to say what it was.
It was the permanent repair tonic, which I'm surprised it sells for as high as that, though, because like repairing armor doesn't cost anything.
Okay, so there were some late notes. Living World, and this is the most interesting thing. Rumors have surfaced about a mysterious Miss Traveler. Do either of you know what that means?
No!
This is the first time I'm hearing of it.
Really? Okay, well.
I want to know what this is about.
An NPC named Zakai of the Lost has been appearing throughout Tyria, and he only appears in a particular map for like 10 or 15 minutes. It's really short.
That is short.
And it's random what he offers each time he shows up. And he's basically, I mean, there's only like a dozen or so logged locations, but for example, in Kryta, he has been seen in Gandaren Fields in two different locations, Lake Bounty and Cornucopian Fields. So that'll be like near the Apple Nook Hamlet Waypoint or up by the Pirates, I think, is where Lake Bounty is. And you can get these ascended recipes from him for the missing Revenant weapon skins from the hot beta from 3 years ago, yes. 2.5 years ago. But yeah, you can go get those recipes. They're ascended weapons and get the skins finally. That's what that is.
I wonder if they'll add this NPC to the like GW2 timers.
I doubt it, but you never know.
Never know.
Pretty hard to get a hold of them though. There's like a really large effort to track where he appears right now going on. There's like a screenshot of like a squad of people looking for him all over Tyria on Reddit today. Pretty interesting. But moving on, there's some world polish. The Crystal Oasis here's what it says. Crystal Oasis disciplined a cavalier who was acting strangely during his investigation of rooftop disturbances at the Amnoon Bazaar.
What does that mean?
I think it just means that they fixed him and they wanted to be fun about the description of it.
Okay.
Sandswept Isles fixed a bug in which Starcaller could be attacked by its own detached heads.
That one.
The Mini Griffin Hatchling Collection now displays the correct tier progress when players add a new miniature to the collection. I haven't been working on that one, have you guys?
No.
Mm-hmm. Elite specialization collections for Path of Fire now indicate the class requirements for obtaining collection drops from the caffeinated scrit. So I'm not.
I don't
not
know what
sure
that means.
Exactly. Well, you have to be on a particular class to get them. Usually, you can't just. You're not supposed to be able to do it on any class just to get them. Although when Path of Fire launched, you could just do it on the same character over and over again. It would just unlock one by one each class specialization.
Okay.
So I don't know if that ever got fixed or if this is the fix for that. Something like that. And one final thing. All unlimited use mining tools will now strike 4 times instead of 3 when mining rich ore nodes. I had this edited out, but somebody put it back in.
That is Alona. Pretty cool.
I don't think it was me.
It wasn't me.
You get 4 shots anyway, so...
No?
Yeah, you do.
Why would you get 4 shots?
At a rich mining
node? Oh, it's a rich one. Oh,
No, it was only 3 before.
On a rich node? No, you get like 3 of 3, right? Wouldn't you get 9?
3, 3, 3, and then 1 or 2 more shots.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway.
All right. Moving on to the ArenaNet forum chat, we have a summary by Aurora Eleonora. Couple things that we pulled out from the Reddit post. We thought these things were interesting. Number one, Matt Medina has been working on unfinished yet Malik's story arc. He said it's still an early project.
I want this.
I wonder if it's a side story or an expansion
could
thing
be.
Or a
I think
yeah, story.
There was some speculation on the Reddit the Reddit post that the summary was posted on that perhaps maybe Fractal, but you had pointed out, Hunter, that Matthew Bedida doesn't work on Fractals, so.
I don't know if he works on Fractals or not. I just don't think he's on the Fractals team, but he might be.
Maybe. Jessica Price confirmed that there is no relation between the Elder Dragons and the human gods.
But I want there to be.
Well.
But fine.
Lindsay Murdoch said there's a great deal about the gods that has still not been revealed, and it goes a whole lot deeper than the god of war likes war. Huh? Confirmation that the gods may have their impact in future story. I mean,
I would love to see that.
That's a given, kind of, right? I mean,
the gods are one of the most interesting parts of Tyrion lore. So,
but they've left.
Yeah, but that's part of the drama.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, Jessica Price on Joko's origin story said that this whole story arc is awfully juicy story material. So it will most likely be revealed in the future story.
More Joko.
I mean, how much did we love that preview with the moving Joko picture frame thing? So, yeah.
So good.
More Joko. Bobby Stein confirmed E is a loose thread and stated, maybe it's complicated. Oh, we were going to have Hunter read that in his...
Oh, right. Hunter did not want us to read this part and made it very known.
We already know this.
We don't know this.
This is something that we know for so effing long.
It confirmed that it's a loose thread. Like, maybe it...
It's a loose thread. Of course it's a fucking loose thread.
But we didn't know. It was confirmed.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
They may have had plans for it.
Everyone knows
that
it's a loose thread.
Ugh. So,
but he doesn't say that there are plans for it. He said, maybe it's complicated. There it is. It's on the table.
There it is.
It's on the table, everybody. Just so you know, it's on the table. We didn't know.
We
Fuck
didn't
off.
Know. And you're going to have a lot
we still
of kittens
don't know.
To put in.
It's not getting edited out.
Well,
that's
but
how angry
we have a clean
I am
tag. You have to edit it out.
Oh, well.
Kitten.
Celeste.
We gotta use Celeste here. Kitten. Matthew.
I don't think people know that we use Celeste as the censor kitten.
Now they do.
We need to give her that title in the guild. Censor kitten.
I'm writing this down.
Matthew Medina clarified the situation revolving Mordremoth's body due to the rather confusing dialogue throughout the game. In essence, the mouth of Mordremoth is his core body, which has grown and spread to be vines and roots throughout the jungle, such as what attacked the Pact fleet, as well as certain Mordrem killing the avatar of Mordremoth, didn't fully destroy his mind, but only left kernels of consciousness which were left in Traherne. Mordremoth's body, the jungle vines, certain Mordrem, etc., functional but handicapped without an overmind to govern it.
I don't necessarily think that needed to be explained, but whatever.
It sounds a little bit like they did these things and then, hey, we can stitch it together using this logic. You know, I don't know.
Maybe.
No, I don't necessarily agree with that. There was another thing about Zaitan, how... they quote-unquote confirmed that his unique weakness was his starvation, his inability to eat after he got cut off by the Pact. The Pact having cut off his supply lines, etc., during the personal story. But we didn't include that, I guess.
You didn't want to include it!
That was one of the things that I said that we should include.
It.
Yes, it, I said we should include it. You're wrong.
This is why we need to record our pre-session so we approve.
Yeah, that would be nice to be proven right all the time.
Oh my gosh. All right, it's you, Hunter.
ArenaNet releases remix of Fear Not This Night on SoundCloud.
So McLean Deemer. McLean said on Twitter, "Hey, Guild Wars 2 fans, we just released a new extended version of my dark and spooky take on Fear Not This Night from the Season 4, Episode 3 trailer. If you want to hear me sing from the absolute bottom to the top of my vocal range, you're in for a treat."
Love it.
And yes, and what did you guys think of it?
Well, you made fun of me because I told you that when I listened
you did Leonard Cohen's version of it.
I cried a little when I was like, I was sitting back, had my earbuds in, nice high volume, and I had my eyes shut, just taking it all in. And I realized I was crying when I was listening to it. So that happened. It's evocative.
Okay. Uh-huh. And they also released a super delightful hillbilly version. Did you get me to say super delightful? Is that what you're laughing about?
Kind of. I didn't think you would. I thought you'd skip right over it. The hillbilly version is amazing.
Yeah, so this was not done by Guild Wars 2, right? Wasn't this? I thought this was posted on Reddit, and then they Guild Wars 2 picked it up, right? And released it on their SoundCloud?
I'm not sure, because Ruby had tweeted out from the Guild Wars 2 official Twitter account that says sometimes things can go in a very, very different direction before they're final. So that...
It says mixed and mastered by Chris Burgess, jaw harp by Gordon. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Maybe. We'd have to look it up. But I remember when it landed on Reddit, and it was one of those things where, you know, it's like a fluff piece and you're not sure, like, is this worth my quality time? And yeah.
I think that every time I go on the internet.
And it was
jaw harp by Gordon, as in the NPC Gordon.
Is that what that means?
You know, the Choya, the little Choya that's in the Halloween Labyrinth race. Yeah, Gordon.
Oh. Oh, well, there
sorry,
you go.
Sorry, stop. I started playing it.
You can stop.
I had a slight panic attack. Sorry, everyone.
All right, Lona.
It's up to me.
It's you.
Finally, we like to take note of artwork, community events, fan creations, and other notable Guild Wars 2 happenings and propose a toast to their existence, the Toast of Ascalon. This episode, Gamers Giving Back MS Toga Party is having a writing contest. On their site, they say, "Writers of Tyria, this is your chance to shine. The aim is to write a short 500 to 1500 word story set in the world of Guild Wars. It must contain themes of togas, multiple sclerosis, or timey. Stories are to be family friendly, appropriate for all ages. First prize will be the precursor weapon, the Lover. You can submit via email at ggbcontest@gmail.com or via their social media. And all entries are due by May 19th, 2018, and they wish everyone good luck. Their website is toga.gamergivingback.com, and if you go to their contest page, this is where we got that information from.
When did this contest go up? That's not a lot of time to write a
I think last
story.
Week was the first time I saw tweets go out about it.
I guess it's only 515 or whatever.
Yeah, to be honest, most people procrastinate anyway, so
not wrong.
Yeah. And that is it. That is the show. So to get in touch with us, you can contact me, #, on Twitter at #thetag. That's #, the tag. Or sigg.1735 in-game. You can tweet Hunter at Hunter's Insight on Twitter. You can engage Alona at OneBigPair or in-game at OneBigPair.1249. You can also email us at hostofascalon@gmail.com. You can listen directly from our website at hostofascalon.com. Grab the RSS feed to use with your preferred podcast app or subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Don't forget, we live stream the show on twitch.tv/hostsofascalon on Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. Our next live Twitch show will be recorded on May 23rd, so put that on your calendars. Good show, everyone. And as Logan would say, I'll see you again.
Does he say it like that?
No.
He doesn't say it like that, hashtag. Well,
that's my interpretation. Like, I don't know how he says it.
I'll see you again.
Not even close.
I'll see you again.
Keep trying. Keep trying. Okay, you'll land on it eventually.